time to wake up. It's Saturday morning. Find some milk and cereal. Grab a bowl and spoon. No, a bigger spoon. Head to the living room and take a seat on the floor while Joseph and Chris present to you
Saturday Morning Cartoon!
Hello everybody, welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoon Boom! This is a show where we wake up with the Saturday morning sun, plop down the living room floor with a big bowl of sugar, and we'll watch all your favorite cartoons, both old and new. I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
And this morning, we watched Captain Planet and the Planeteers.
And this was chosen by Christopher Valencia via Twitter. So thank you, Christopher.
Yes, thank you, Christopher. And random themes, well, not random theme song. Theme song pretty much describes exactly what's going on. It tells all the Planeteers, all their powers, go planet, etc., etc.
Go planet!
So the show Captain Planet and the Planeteers ran from 1990 to 1993 for season one through season three. The New Adventures of Captain Planet, this is where it gets a little foggy, kind of like the Batman thing. Yeah, exactly. The New Adventures of Captain Planet ran from 93 to 96, which was a direct follow-up to the original one, and that was the kind of official, unofficial season four through season six. So it's kind of like they did Batman, and then they combined it with the new Batman Adventures. Right. And they were two separate shows technically, but they tied them together in the DVDs. And so they're kind of tying these together as well. So that was why, until I read up on it a little bit, I had no idea there were two separate shows. So
it's like for both shows, there was two separate series, but they decided to pretend that it was one.
Kind of, yeah. They just tied them together.
Got it. Interesting.
The show was created and developed by Ted Turner and Barbara Pyle, produced by Deke Entertainment for seasons one through season three, Hanna-Barbera for season four through six, Turner Program Services for all the seasons, and then the Captain Planet Foundation for, I'm assuming, all the seasons as well. So Captain Planet ran, well, if you count all of the Captain Planets, it ran for six seasons, 113 episodes. So this ran on the TBS Superstation originally, and I think it was kind of syndicated after the fact, because I don't think that I watched it on TBS.
I'm not sure what I saw, but TBS sounds familiar. But, I mean, if Ted Turner produced this thing, I mean, he owns TBS, so
yeah,
it would make sense.
I mean, it makes sense that it aired on that, so maybe it stayed exclusively to that, at least during its first airing. For a short synopsis, a quintet of teenagers work together to encourage environmentally responsible behavior and can summon a superhero to deal with ecological disasters.
Yeah, I mean...
all of that's true.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, that's pretty, I guess that is accurate, technically.
Yeah. without going into too much detail, yeah, that's exactly it.
Right, yeah.
So, Chris, who are some of the actors who played in this show? I had read, and you had said something about it being pretty star-studded.
There is a lot, and there's so many that I'm not going to be able to get into all of them, but, here we go. We're going to do it.
Let's do it.
Okay. So the voice of Gaia was Whoopi Goldberg for 60 episodes, and then that was taken over by Margot Kidder. Kwame was voiced by LeVar Burton, who you might also know from the show Reading Rainbow or from Star Trek The Next Generation. He's got the guy with the cool like Cyclops glasses going
Geordi
on.
Geordi LaForge, yeah.
Yeah. Voice of Wheeler, Joey Didio. I don't know how you say it, but thankfully he hasn't done anything else since, really.
Thankfully.
Voice of Gee was Janice Kawaii, who was on Invader Zim, Codename Kids Next Door, Toradora, and lots of episodes of Bleach as Yuzu Kurosaki. And she's in tons and tons and tons of other stuff. But those were the big ones that stood out to me.
Nice.
The voice of Mati was Scott Menville, who's been in tons of cartoons also, but most notably, he is the voice of Robin in pretty much any incarnation of the Teen Titans cartoons.
Hmm.
Voice of Alinka was Kath Susie, who's also done tons of cartoons from the 90s and the 2000s, including Mighty Max, Sonic the Hedgehog, Gargoyles, Earthworm Jim, The Savage Dragon, and so many more that have not been suggested to us yet. Hint, hint. And she was also the voice of Lola Bunny from Space Jam, which confused lots of boys as they hit puberty. The voice of Suchi the monkey was Frank Welker, of course, because, I mean, it's an animal. Voice of Captain Planet was David Coburn, who voiced Donnie on the New Kids on the Block cartoon series. Wait,
that
was a cartoon series? What? Okay, well, we know we're going to have to do that eventually.
Please, nobody suggest that.
Please suggest it for Joseph. The voice of Hoggish Greedley was Ed Asner. You know, famous actor. Everyone knows Ed Asner, I hope, I think. I don't know. Dr. Blight was voiced by Meg Ryan for the first 13 episodes and then Mary Kay Bergman. The voice of Verminous Scum was voiced by Jeff Goldblum for 5 episodes, then taken over by Maurice LaMarche.
Oh, cool.
The voice of Sly Sludge was Martin Sheen for the first 12 episodes and then taken over by Jim Cummings. And like I said, there are so many notable names on this show that I can't go through every single, you know, character plus who they played, but I'm going to name a whole bunch more notable names really quick. So just bear with me. So we have people like Tim Curry, Charlie Adler, Sting, the singer, not the wrestler, Louis Gossett Jr., Hector Elizondo, Dennis Weaver, Cree Summer, Malcolm McDowell, Phil Hartman, Fred Savage, Elizabeth Taylor, Neil Patrick Harris, Vanna White, Phyllis Diller, Danny Glover, Helen Hunt, and tons of others. So this was a huge, 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 huge cartoon for celebrities to make guest appearances on. Oh, Ted Turner was also another voice. He was in like maybe one episode, but you know, the guy who owns that network and produced this show also voiced a character, which I never knew he had done any acting or voice work ever. So I was very surprised.
That's awesome. Yeah, that is a lot of people. I think that might be the most star-studded cast that we've had on this show.
Yeah, I think so. I would have to agree. I have to agree. I do agree. I agree.
It's good that we agree.
Yeah.
So here's a few tasty marshmallows out of our big bowl of Captain Planet cereal. Originally, and this is another star, Tom Cruise originally agreed to provide the voice of Captain Planet. He backed out at the last minute for an unknown reason.
Weird.
So Captain Planet was almost Tom Cruise.
Maybe because he doesn't believe in captains.
Maybe that's it.
Scientology is strange, man. I'm just saying.
Captain Planet's color scheme is based on the ring's colors, which I never really thought about. But thus emphasizing the fact that he is a combination of the five powers. He's got the green hair for earth, red clothing for fire, white and blue skin for wind and water, respectively, and yellow chest piece and belt buckle for heart.
Where does he have white skin? I thought he just has blue skin, and I thought, like, he was just really shiny.
No, it's like, he's kind of like a prismatic in a way. He's got white and blue skin. It depends on how the sun's hitting him, I guess.
Right, which, I mean, that would still be just, like, you know, light reflecting. So he's not actually white, he's blue, but because he's so shiny with those, like, prismatic-like sides, the reflection looks white.
Or he is white and the blueness is from the reflection of the sky.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
This is so much work. I can't do this with my what's that organ inside your head that does things?
Your head heart.
Yes, I can't do it with my head heart.
The look of Captain Planet is inspired by the DC Comics character Captain Atom. Other aspects of the show, five teenagers with powers summoning a super being of greater force with looks and personality bits of the teenagers, are inspired by the Marvel Comics Cy-Force series, which I'm unfamiliar with. I don't know about that one.
Yeah, but I've never heard of that.
So there's kind of inspiration both from DC and Marvel as far as the creation of Captain Planet and his group goes. Yeah.
Okay.
And for the final season, and this is something I listened to, I'll tell you, hold on. For the final season, the opening dialogue was replaced by a rap theme.
What?
Yeah, for season 6, the opening dialogue that describes the Planeteers was replaced by a rap theme. And not
Please include some of that here?
I will. One of the lines was, the Mega Mac Daddy of Ecology.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That dude's got some sick rhymes.
How sick is that? For real.
That's pretty, lit,
that was
bro.
Off the chain.
Off the chain.
Don't know why they made that choice, but it happened. Also,
because they wanted to connect with the kids, yo.
I guess they wanted to be hipper. And not only that, but it was sung by these like green lips with teeth on the screen. Yeah, like it had like...
Why?
I don't know. It had clips from the show, and then the thing singing it were these green lips with just teeth. And that was it, yeah.
That's disgusting. I don't like it. I don't like it. Take it back.
Get it away from me.
Dang it, Ted Turner.
It was bad. So, Chris, what are your memories of Captain Planet?
I remember quite a bit about it. I mean, I know Captain Planet and I know about the Planeteers. I know their names. I know about the rings. I recognize some of the looks of some of the bad guys. But as far as actual episodes, I don't remember any. But I mean, I had a general working knowledge of Captain Planet and the Planeteers. That's about it. I know about the green mullet and that he wears like no clothes.
Yeah.
You know, he wears like a, he wears like Speedos and he's got like a belly shirt.
That's something you need to put on your resumes because it just sounded funny the way that you said it. I have a general working knowledge of Captain Planet and the Planeteers.
I'll change it immediately.
In the future, yeah. Add that to your resume as a skill. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It is a skill.
It is. I mean, who else has all that?
Right.
Oh, man. Yeah. Hold on real quick. Let me add this to the marshmallows. Have you ever seen Don Cheadle playing Captain Planet from Funny
Yes,
or Die?
And it is hilarious.
Oh, my gosh. So
He's
funny.
The best.
Not for kids, though. Please, if kids are listening to this show, do not watch those videos. I'm warning you. They're rated R for sure. So stay away from those. But if you're an adult listening to this.
Or get your parents' permission.
Yeah. Please go watch those videos if you're an adult or if you have parents' permission because they are hilarious. I won't go into them, but just please go watch those. So,
yeah, Carter, we're talking to you.
Yeah.
You ask your mom first.
Ask your mom. I hope she says no because they're really bad.
She's going to think we're a bad influence.
No. We had the disclaimer.
Okay. That makes us safe.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think we're good.
But yeah, I remember Captain Planet 2, of course. Becoming a Planeteer as a kid was one of my like life goals.
And oh my God.
Because I couldn't, I mean, we were like five when this came out. So I was like, man, I so want to be a Planeteer. Like I want to be this. I didn't care which ring I got. Like I would have taken Heart even. I was fine with whatever.
That's the worst one.
I know, but that's how desperate I was to become a Planeteer. But
that's pretty desperate.
Yeah. That said, I do think that this show has affected the way that I live my life. In a way now, at least when it comes to recycling and throwing away trash that I see, you know, just kind of littered about. Like, if I see like a random, you know, bottle on the ground or something, I'm going to pick it up and put it in a trash can if there's one in a reasonable distance. But I think that was kind of inspired by this show. Like of course, there's been various things like all of the PSAs and infomercials that were about littering when we were kids and cleaning up.
Right.
And, you know, even SeaWorld had like that Shamu and the Texas tuxedos. You might not be familiar with that because you're not from Texas.
I remember Shamu. I don't know about the Texas tuxedos.
Texas tuxedos were penguins that helped clean up the environment, like the oceans. Yeah.
How did penguins do that?
I'm trying to remember.
Are these penguins like doing community service or what? Like, were they serving time?
I don't know, but I just remember them cleaning up the environment. And there were so many of those PSAs as kids that really rubbed off on me. And I think this is Captain Planet was partially responsible for that.
So that's where you and I differ. Because like even today, I was taking the dog for a walk and I'm walking around the lake. And I go past like there was like a beer bottle on the ground. And I was like, wow, what an asshole. And just kept walking.
If it's just out there in the middle of nowhere and there's no trash can nearby, I'll leave it and I'll just be like, man, that sucks. But if I see a trash can, I will pick it up. If it looks like it's dirty, I'll find something to pick it up with and then I'll put it in the trash can.
You're like, you know, I'll clean it up so long as I don't have to walk more than 10 feet holding it.
Yeah, I mean, Captain Planet rubbed off on me, but he didn't completely. So let's go ahead and jump into the episodes we watched for today's show. Very first episode, highest rated episode, finally random listener chosen episode. Order may vary depending on how these episodes fall chronologically, but of course we have to start with the very first episode, A Hero for Earth, Season 1, Episode 1, where the spirit of Earth, Gaia, is woken from a century-long sleep at Hope Island to discover that Earth is dying because of humans' carelessness in deforestation, pollution, overhunting, and oil drilling.
Of course, like, they draw Gaia as this, like, super hot tan chick sleeping. I'm like, oh, come on.
Was she African-American?
Originally, no. But she got darker as the series went on.
Okay. So, I guess I just associated that because Whoopi Goldberg was the one who played her at first.
Right. Well, actually, I have a note about this. So, like, the episodes that we watched, the three episodes, she was just kind of tan. So she could have easily been something like Middle Eastern or, I don't know, Latin American or something like that.
Mm.
But in one of the PSAs in the very last episode we watched, she was straight up black. And so I don't know if that was a mistake from the coloring department or if they just decided, yeah, you know what, let's just match it with the voice.
I wonder though if they just left her kind of ambiguous as far as skin color goes, because she's kind of everything, not really. Yeah.
Supposed to be, yeah. So yeah, I thought that was kind of weird though, you know. I was just like, I mean, I didn't think of anything of it until that PSA where her skin color was a completely different color, and I was like, oh, okay. I mean, nothing against it, but I thought it was weird that it just randomly happened.
Yeah, I guess I didn't even notice that. This show kind of made me colorblind.
Oh my gosh.
But so we've got Kwame, Wheeler, Linka, Guy, and Mati, who are from various continents around the world. And I mean, that's just kind of, I guess, a subtle message that we all have to pitch in, like, no matter where we are, in order to help the environment.
There's also a subtle message that, like, the creators don't like Russia. Because, so the first episode, is it says Linka is from the Soviet Union, but the second episode forward says that she's from Northern Europe.
Well, that's because that was back when the Soviet Union still existed when it first came out, and then after it was, I guess, taken apart or whatever you want to call it,
right?
They decided to just go a different direction with it to be kind of PC about it. I think the first thing we actually see is trees getting torn down by what's basically an AT-AT walker.
It's Greedly.
And
yeah,
it's Greedly from Star
inside
Wars.
Of this thing.
Yeah, hoggish Greedly inside of it with his partner Rigger. And we can see quickly that these are the villains of the show, at least the villains of this episode, because they went to a world life sanctuary where, you know, everything's supposed to be protected. But his idea, Hoggish's idea, is that, you know, he's going to get done with this so quickly that no one's going to be able to stop him with his new machine.
Right.
And this is...
And gosh, I can barely understand him when he talks at first, because he's like laughing, snorting, and talking all at the same time. And I'm like, this dude sounds drunk. Maybe he is. I don't know.
Well, he is a big pig man.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, this is what wakes Gaia up, though. Like, she's been taking a nap for, I don't know, centuries,
years,
I guess, or a century at least. Yeah. And
I think she said it was 100 years.
Yeah. And so she wakes up to Earth. She even tells herself, she's like, how much damage could humans do in a century? And she's like, wow, Earth is dying now. So they've done pretty bad.
Sorry.
So it's time. The time has come for me to basically send out the rings. Almost like if you think about the Green Lantern, like the ring has to choose its bearer.
She's like, let me send this out to 5 random teenagers so that they can fight crime.
But it's teenagers who are doing something not necessarily good for the environment, but doing something semi-heroic, at least, I guess.
Well, I guess that much is true. The Earth one goes to Kwame in Africa.
Because he's planting trees when it happens.
Yeah, because there's like a big drought, and he's like, or at least it looks like there's a drought, or like a lot of the farmland's messed up, so he's trying to save it. The water ring goes to Guy, who's like surfing and hanging out with dolphins. The wind ring goes to Linka, who's on a mountain with birds.
Yeah, I guess she's just kind of hanging with birds.
She just likes birds.
Oh, she's playing music with the birds, at least.
That's right. Okay. The fire ring goes to Wheeler, who's like in a back alley in the middle of the night.
Fighting thugs.
And he sees somebody getting mugged by this big buff punk dude, and Wheeler comes out. He's like, hey, and Wheeler's not a big dude. He's just a scrawny teenager like all the rest of them. And this giant punk dude gets all scared and runs away. I'm like, what? Why would he run?
Yeah, they don't fight or anything. He doesn't have anything threatening about him. He's
not at all.
I think he's like 16 or something, supposedly.
Yeah, he's just this little ginger teenager.
Yeah, he intimidates for some reason the thug. And did you already say Mati?
No, the heart ring, because I didn't know heart was a natural element, but it is
apparently.
And that goes to Mati, who is like hanging out in the rainforest with his monkey swinging from vines and stuff.
What's the monkey's name?
I think it's Suchi.
Okay. Yeah, they don't say it at all in these episodes, but yeah, I remember them talking about him before.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all kind of trying out their powers. Do they get teleported to Gaia?
I think so. I mean, I don't remember what they did, but I would imagine so, because like, how else did they all get there?
Right. So
I think she does that a lot in all the other episodes, though. So I'm sure that that's what happened.
Probably.
They got teleported to her. Like, I don't know where she exists. She's got like some sort of little domain, like a pocket dimension or something.
It's like in the center of the Earth, kind of.
I guess. Like, there's no lava there. It's just a chick.
No.
With the TV who watches people pollute.
Yeah, basically. You know? And sends out rings.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so...
just giving them out, man.
Just handing them out. So they come together. They're trying out their powers. Mati, that's the one that's kind of the most confusing, but apparently his is the greatest power of all, or at least that's what she's trying to encourage him.
Nope.
Because that's the worst. It links them all together. Mati is essentially a communication device for everyone.
Yeah, they can kind of talk to each other through him.
A psychic link.
I guess he becomes kind of like a telepath sort of thing.
Yeah.
He's like a psychic relay.
Mm-hmm.
And he also can make people feel better.
Yeah.
About themselves and stuff.
I mean, that's a good power. I wish I had
it's
that kind
dumb,
of power.
Man. That's dumb.
No.
I don't like it.
It's helpful.
I think it's stupid. And okay, nothing against Whoopi Goldberg, but I don't think she did a great job as Gaia, because, I mean, you know, I guess I haven't watched her act that much, but I feel like maybe she is a good actor, but I feel like as a voice actor, not great, because she's kind of explaining everything to the Planeteers, and even in the other episodes where she's having a conversation, it honestly feels like somebody's just reading a story off a page and not having a conversation.
Yeah, I guess there's not much excitement to her voice or
not at all.
Even
she sounds super bored. It's very flat. There's very little inflection. It's very monotone. So I was just like, you know, that really stood out to me. I was like, man, she really was not going for it on this one.
This is one of those situations where they most likely weren't reading in the same room together. So it was probably just them reading off the script.
Yeah, absolutely. You could tell it was definitely not the same room. And one more thing, just having to do, and this is more character based, is that like Wheeler's probably the worst character ever. Like, I hate Wheeler.
You've said that about so many characters.
Oh, he's so stupid. Well, okay. So the reigning champion for worst character I've ever seen right now is Doc from the Adventure of the Galaxy Rangers.
Oh my gosh.
Like he's the reigning champ for worst character, but Wheeler is super close. He gets a little bit better as the show goes on, where Doc, I think, gets worse. I'm going to say Wheeler's second place.
All right, that's fair.
Like, God, some of the stuff Wheeler says is so stupid.
I
like,
didn't remember Wheeler's accent being that annoying.
He's super like Brooklyn, and it's just, oh God, I'm trying to remember some of the things he says. Oh, like he's like, nice job, toots.
Yeah.
And he calls Link a Rooski Tooski. I'm like, shut up. Like, get out. Get out of Earth. Right now, give up that ring. Give it up. Give it to somebody that knows.
Not only are you out of the Planeteers, you're out of the planet. You're off the planet.
Seriously. I mean, find someone else with red hair to give the red ring to. I mean, if that's the qualification, I'm sure there's plenty out there. Lucille Ball would have been a better redheaded ring bearer than this guy. I mean, good Lord. It was so bad.
So I'm trying to remember from here, they actually do go over to Hoggish Greedley to try and stop him with whatever limited powers they have. And they're doing okay at first. And then I think he sprays oil on them.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he sprays oil on their ship.
Right. Which makes them forces them to land because they're flying at him.
They're about to crash in the water, but Kwame lifts up some earth for them to land on.
One thing I thought was funny was, so I don't know, like, Greedley said something. I don't remember. He was saying something to Rigger, and he's like, oh, a bunch of kids. Like, I can take them or something. But he hadn't even seen them yet. How does he know they're kids?
Oh, yeah. That's what I was thinking, because it was, all he saw was their ship, and he's like, oh, I can take a bunch of teenagers or something. It's like, man, he knows specifically
he know?
Who's in there. Yeah.
Maybe he has, like, I don't know, he's got, like, the second ring, the heart ring. It's like a corrupted version, and he's a telepath, too.
Do you remember Captain Pollution?
No. Is this a thing?
Yes, that was...
Is that like Bizarro Superman? It's like a Bizarro...
It's kind of... Yeah, it's kind of like the anti-Captain Planet. Captain Pollution. Nice. And there were rings to go along with it. I know one of them was like...
One of them
was like a toxic ring or a smog ring and stuff.
Oh, yes.
He looked disgusting, but that was that what that reminded me of.
Oh, man. I kind of want to see that episode then. What other rings could there be? Maybe like an acid rain ring or something? Or
yeah, maybe there's like a litter ring. It just like litter. Disposes trash. Just
you have the ability to take trash out of the trash can and put it on the ground. That's what the litter ring does.
That's
just
the laziest ring. That's the equivalent of the heart ring.
Right, exactly. Just makes you feel bad about yourself, too.
Yeah, the black heart ring.
Yeah, oh my God. Before Greedly sees... who it is, before Greedly knows that they're kids, Rigger is just like, is that the Coast Guard? And he's like, Greedly's like, no. It was just so out of place. Oh God, it was my favorite clip. It's so funny.
No.
Like, I do love how while they're on the way to get to Greedly, they're talking in the ship and stuff like that, and there's this beautiful exposition by Wheeler, and he's like, one minute I'm a kid from Brooklyn, next thing you know I'm a superhero going to save the Earth. Please shoot them down. Please. Just, yeah.
Very eloquent.
And when they start having trouble fighting Greedly, so they don't know about Captain Planet yet, and Gaia, her face appears in the sky, because, you know, why wouldn't it? And really enthusiastically, she's like, when they're like, well, what do we do? She's like, well, just put your powers together, then you'll really be surprised. I mean, like, I can't do it justice. It's almost that good.
Yeah.
When she says it, almost. She's really enthusiastic.
Your enthusiasm was almost to that level.
It might have been more enthusiastic than her, honestly.
It's possible. Yeah, so she's really vague about it. And she doesn't even tell them how to combine their powers. But Kwame, of course, you know, he's always the one that intros it. Let our powers combine. And then they go through the whole thing. Earth, fire, wind, water, heart. And then magically, out of nowhere, Captain Planet appears. This blue man with a green mullet. And they're not as surprised as I think they should be.
No, not at all. They're just kind of like, I mean,
no,
like, he appears
right away. They're just like, go, Planet. It's like, how do you know?
All five of them.
How do
they
you know?
They all know.
Yeah.
But there's something that comes up in another episode that makes me laugh that has to do with that. So,
well, we'll talk
once
about
we get
that.
To that. Yeah. I can't wait to talk about it. But okay, the summoning music for Captain Planet's just, wow, that's good. That's good stuff. That's good music.
What is the music?
It was like this, like, I don't know. It was almost like this techno-ish, like, 80s rock kind of thing. I don't know, but it's fantastic.
When Captain Planet, and this is something I had forgotten, when Captain Planet is summoned, the rings are now useless. So the Planeteers are basically like, well, we can't do anything. They can watch. That's about it.
Yeah. Oh God, there is a completely different line in this that is the best line. I messed up. That's the no thing is not the best line. The best line is Greedly tries to attack Captain Planet with the drill, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he can't get to him because he's too fast. So it's like, if I can't drill you, I'll waste you. Can't drill Captain Planet. So he sprays him with oil.
Yeah.
And my God, like, I almost spit out my drink.
Yeah, Captain Planet's reaction, I was just like, that tickles. Like, he's automatically, like, he's super lighthearted and tries to be funny, but his jokes are all terrible.
Oh, yeah. He's horrible at making jokes, man.
It's clear that he's been locked up inside whatever kind of realm these rings lock him in for centuries.
Seriously.
Yeah, he gets hit with that toxic waste or with that oil or whatever it is.
That weakens him.
That's his one weakness. That's his kryptonite.
Pollution.
Pollution is his kryptonite, which is strange since that's what he's fighting.
Right, it's the one thing he's fighting against he's, like, allergic to, basically.
Yeah, so...
It'd be like if Superman fights against kryptonite. It makes no sense.
He gets the planet on his chest is covered, and they start to uncover it, the Planeteers do, in order to help out. And in the same way that Superman gets his powers back, Captain Planet has to absorb sunlight as well. Yeah. What doesn't make sense, and happens kind of in between this, when Captain Planet is still knocked out, Greedley goes to crush him with one of the legs of the walker he's in, and Kwame puts a big rock under it. And
yeah,
I don't know that, and maybe I'm just misjudging the density of this rock, but I feel like with that much pressure on it, it would have crumbled almost immediately.
Yeah, well, seeing how this machine was drilling through bedrock, I feel like it could crush like a small boulder.
Yeah,
you know,
because it wasn't even like a sizable boulder. It was smaller than the foot itself. And so,
it was small enough that three teenagers could roll it.
Yeah, so I don't know what this boulder was made out of, but it wasn't able to be crushed in time. And Captain Planet gets his sunlight, and he is able to get up there, destroy the walker after being charged back up. Greedley gets away, of course, because otherwise, you know, no future episodes with them.
Right, exactly.
And the next part of their journey here is to clean up the animals. And Wheeler complains about it.
Yeah, because he's not getting paid, and he's a terrible character.
Yeah.
And a terrible person.
He does not belong here. He doesn't care about the planet at all. He just wants to fight.
And because Linka is supposed to be Russian, she calls him an imperialist dog. I was like, man, they're going for the stereotypes.
But there are some rewards, Chris, that are greater than money, like cleaning animals.
I don't know. Well, I don't know. I'd be pretty happy if someone cleaned my dog. She stinks right now.
The PSA at the end of this one, because of course it has a PSA. The whole show is a PSA, but there's a PSA at the end of this long PSA that encourages families not to waste gas and other fuels and turn off the lights when you're not using them.
Yeah, don't be a Greedley.
Good advice.
Also, at the end of almost anything Captain Planet does or says, he goes, "The power is yours."
It's like he means it in an overarching sense where it's like you have the power to clean up the planet, but in a literal sense, it's like here's your powers back. Because I'm going back into my ring bed. That's it.
I was going to say, does he split into five parts?
I guess that's what I was thinking.
How does that work?
Or it's like his body parts split. Like his hair goes into the earth ring. His clothes go into the fire ring.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Good thing it all happens simultaneously or else like you'd see him get naked and bald.
Right.
Before he disappears.
Well, then it would turn into like a Sailor Moon transformation.
Oh, my gosh. That would be hilarious. Have you seen somebody animated like Iron Man putting his suit on?
Oh, I did see that. Yes.
The Sailor Moon thing. Yeah. It's so good.
Very, very sensual.
But so the end song, the credits are the best part of this entire show.
This is a song that I remember.
Yes.
From childhood. Like this.
I remember this more than anything else.
Mainly the part that's like Captain Planet. He's a hero. Going to take pollution down to zero. Gonna help us put asunder bad guys select to loot and plunder. Those are the lines that have stuck with me since childhood. I didn't write that down. I just remember that forever.
Captain Planet, he's a hero. Gonna take pollution down to zero.
Nailed it.
Mic drop. But my mic is suspended. So
probably
mic throw across
it.
The room.
The second episode we watched for today's show was OK at the Gunfight Corral, season 3, episode 8. And this was the highest rated one?
Yep.
Hmm.
Yes, it was.
Interesting. So in this one, Hoggish, Greedley, Rigger, and Sly Sludge travel back in time to create the biggest trash crisis in history.
This is amazing.
I don't believe that this is the highest rated one, but I'll trust that it is.
According to IMDb, this is the highest rated episode.
That's interesting. So this one kind of throws logic out the window. So Hoggish, Greedley... is looking to find an unlimited garbage dumping ground. And what that ends up being is the Grand Canyon, but not the present Grand Canyon. He wants to go all the way back to the Old West and start polluting it or kind of purchase it at that point when it was way cheaper. Own it so that he can use it as a dumping ground from that point forward so that in the future, due to the butterfly effect, or not even the butterfly effect, but just due to traveling back in time, it would be filled with trash. But what's strange is the Planeteers still knew that it wasn't supposed to be filled with trash. So it's like that time travel didn't affect them.
Right. It's like they were preserved from the shift in time space.
Right.
Can I ask a question?
Please.
Why does Greedley want to pollute?
He just likes it, I guess. I mean, it's not, I don't know what his job is or what his goals are.
It wasn't explained to us at all in that first episode, and maybe they explain it in other episodes, but in this one too, we don't know why he wants to pollute. He's just like, well, I gotta pollute some more. And so
at the end,
fill up the Grand Canyon.
At the end of the song, I mean, it just says bad guys who like to loot and plunder. So I guess he just likes it. Like, he just has fun.
So he doesn't even love it. He just likes it.
Yeah, he's just okay with it. It's just a pastime of his.
He's like, yeah, this is something to
he's
do,
actually a respectable businessman who works with children during the day.
Sick children.
Yeah. He works with sick children during the day. He's got a heart of gold, but he just loves pollution or likes pollution. Sorry.
Yeah. So because he went back in time in the present, the Grand Canyon is almost completely full of trash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they go back. Well, there's a time machine that the bad guys built. I guess Dr. Blight built it for them.
Yeah.
And so the Planeteers are like, cool, here's where it is. We know where it is, I guess, and let's go through it too and try and stop
them. Gaia says, like, I don't know where it is, but here's energy readings that are fluctuating differently. So it's like, here's exactly where it is.
Man, Gaia's very technologically advanced for just being an Earth spirit.
Yeah. It seems like she would know where everything is at all times, being an Earth spirit, but
I guess, but she was relying on technology.
Yeah.
She's like, here's the energy readings from the computer.
Right.
Like, how does this work?
Yeah. When they jump back in time, actually, Gi is the tech buff. Remember, like, she's the one who was able to read the sensors or something.
Yeah, that's true.
When they do jump back in time, the first thing they encounter is a white man teaching Native American some sort of lesson. And I can't remember what it was exactly.
Yeah. I don't remember, but he was like, well, there's the one Native American who stays with them because he wants to, Keani.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's angry because they're dumping trash and stuff.
They save, the Planeteers come and save him from the racist, the white person who's there. And then they spend all day explaining their powers to him, basically, because it's like a time transition where it's like they start when the sun's out and then it transitions to them at a campfire and it's dark out. So they've been talking about their powers the entire day.
So how do you, by default, what do you think a cowboy in the Old West would sound like as far as when he talks? Joseph, what do you expect to hear?
I expect to hear howdies and just Texas kind of slang to it. Y'all.
Like, talking like this, y'all?
Yeah,
something like that?
Exactly.
Well, this particular cowboy they chase away is like, uh-oh, let's hightail it. I'm like, what? What happened to the Old West?
My goodness. Yeah.
I guess like they hired guys and they're like, okay, do your best cowboy. And he's like, what's a cowboy?
Yeah. No attempt at trying a cowboy accent or anything there.
Seriously, man.
Yeah, so Rigger happens to see the Planeteers kind of speaking with Keani, and so he's like, oh, no, and goes back and tells the boss and Sludge also, who's there. And I don't remember Sludge much, Sly Sludge. I know he was one of the villains, but I can't remember what he did. I guess he likes Sludge.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, you know, the other characters all have, like, a very distinct look to them, but Sly Sledge just looks like a straight-up businessman.
Yeah, he's just a dirty businessman. Do you remember that one yellow kind of rocky-looking guy, Duke Nukem?
Yes, yes. There's issues with him in the Duke Nukem franchise, like the video game franchise.
Oh, I'll bet.
Because his name is spelled Duke Nukem, with Nukem actually spelled, like, N-U-K-E-M.
Uh-huh.
And they had the trademark on that. So when the Duke Nukem games came out, they tried to use that name at first, but because it was trademarked through the show, they had to change the spelling. So the Duke Nukem games, what is it like? I don't know. It's spelled a little bit differently, but I don't remember how it's spelled. But yeah, so that's that. There you go. Some video game history for you. Ta-da.
Yeah, I just remember the way that guy looked. I can't remember. I know he had like an orange kind of mohawk thing also.
Yeah,
I vaguely remember, and a Hawaiian shirt. I remember that. That's what I remember about that character, not his voice or what he did or anything. Yeah, so there are much more memorable characters. Sly Sludge, the least memorable.
I would love to see the video game Duke Nukem in the show, like attacking like Doris Green. And he's like, I'm going to cut off your head.
Yeah.
And pollute down your neck.
Pollute down your neck. Yeah. But yeah, they would have to keep it PG though. Like, I'm going to.
That line does not go the way I said it.
No. Same with the, it's time to kick butt and chew bubblegum, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
Yeah, which was a line that they took from They Live.
Exactly.
But so, we're being very PG with
we
this.
We are. We're trying. Yeah, getting back to this, Sludge at one point is trying to, like, he's getting mad at Rigger for some reason, and then Hoggish defends him. Yeah, and he's like, he may be a lame brain, but he's my lame brain. So that shows, you know, Hoggish and Rigger's relationship. And then he just, gets mad at Rigger after that for some reason.
Well, it was like, because whatever Rigger did that made Sludge mad, Sludge yells at him. Hoggish's like, you can't yell at him. Like, this is my dude. And then he yells at him instead for the same thing.
Yeah. Like, only he's allowed to do that. The Planeteer. Oh, man. The Planeteers, they decide to dress up to blend in a little bit. And they dress
Wheeler
up in, like,
decides.
Oh, yeah, true. Oh, but everyone else follows suit. And they dress up in, like, dirty trash clothes. Like, they literally pulled these clothes out of the garbage. And they're like, oh, now we fit in.
I want to know where Wheeler found a fake mustache.
Yeah, especially a, like, garbage fake mustache.
Yeah, how would he find fake mustache in the garbage? Like,
I
don't know about this.
It was the same hair color.
Who did he shave? He goes into this bar because bad guys are in there, and he orders a sarsaparilla from
you
the
sure
bartender.
You can handle it, boy?
You're right. And he's listening because, and then he finds out the plan, which is that Greedley is trying to purchase all of the land of the Grand Canyon so he can fill it with trash. And there's two deeds left. And one is owned by a crazy prospector because, of course, and the other's owned by a store owner. So he's doing, like, he's cheating at poker to basically win the one deed from the prospector. Now, the store owner was not going to sell at all. So what Greedley does is he burns down the guy's store, or decides to have it burned down. And then the guy, because he had nothing left, Greedley figured, oh, he'll sell me the thing because he's got nothing left. You know, nowhere to live, nothing to live off of. But, like, this made me a little uncomfortable. Before it happens, like, the Planeteers, knowing what's going to happen, go to the store because they're going to try to talk to him and say, hey, don't sell that deed no matter what happens. They go in and he immediately, like, yells at all of the ethnic Planeteers and kicks them out of the store.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, whoa, dude.
It was a little uncomfortable. There is obvious racism there. But I mean, that's, I'm sure it's not entirely accurate, but it's, they at least had
They address it again later, but.
Yeah. So, I mean, there is a turnaround from that, but. Yeah. It was a little uncomfortable, and I'm like, man, they really went there with that, and that's...
Yeah, I was very surprised.
Yeah, so...
So, only Wheeler and Linka were allowed to talk to him because they were the only, like, obvious white kids.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was weird. I didn't care for that.
Yeah, they've got the... Wheeler's fire ring gets taken.
Oh, yeah, because he gets caught by Greedley and Rigger and all them. Like, they grab him and take his ring off.
Yeah, they, he also, I think they gave him a dueling gun or something.
Yes, and no bullets.
It had no bullets in it, right.
He didn't know that.
Yeah, so he hits Hoggish with the empty gun, though.
Well, he's like spinning around on his finger and it flies off his finger, keeps spinning through the air very slowly. And, like, Greedley has time to be like, wow, what is this? And then it hits him in the face.
Right.
I'm like, why did you just literally take a step to your left? And then it wouldn't have hit you in the face.
Yeah, he's kind of just like, I want to see where this goes, and just stood there.
What was weird, too, was, like, one of, like, Greedley's guys, the cowboy that doesn't speak like a cowboy, you know, had said, oh, there's no bullets in that gun. And they're like, no bullets. And then the guy turns to the audience, like, you know, where the camera would be if this was like
breaks
a film.
The fourth wall.
And he breaks the fourth wall and he's like, whoops. And I'm like, what? That's that was weird.
It didn't
that was
belong.
A really weird random place to do it.
Yeah. Kiani, I think Mati gets knocked out, and so Kiani has to use Mati's ring in order to help summon Captain Planet.
Yeah, Wheeler got his ring back.
Yeah, he got his ring back. Mati got knocked out, so Kiani had to use his ring.
And what's funny about that is, so in the first episode, when they all get the rings and Gaia's talking to him, Gaia's like, you five received the rings because you're special and only you can bear the rings or whatever. Apparently not, because Mati gets knocked out and they're like, well, let's find the other, this other kid.
Well, let's
give it to him.
The long version of that is, except for Mati, anyone can use that ring. I'm just, She just didn't want to go there, at least not in their first meeting.
Exactly. She's just like, oh, I don't want to break it to him, but he's not as special as he thinks he is. So when Kiani joins the Planeteers to summon Captain Planet, they find, and when they summon him and stuff like that, you know, all the four regular Planeteers do the go planet. And Kiani's like, go planet.
Yeah.
He's like, which I thought was funny because I'm like, how did the five of them in the first episode know exactly what to say? But that's what I liked in that episode where those four said it and he's like, what?
It was like they were very self-aware in that one. Yeah. That it's like he wouldn't know. So
yeah, he's just like, go planet.
Go planet.
Sure.
Yeah. Hey. I think the bad dudes try to run through the town or the time portal to close it. Captain Planet stops them. General Store is rebuilt. Mr. Stovall, who is the store owner, he then, and this is a good moment because he then asks Kiani, like, if he wants to work for him at this point. And he previously was the one who kicked all of the ethnic people out of the store. So,
well, it was because when that store did burn down, he was inside and it fell on him. And the Planeteers came to his rescue, but it was like Kiani and Mati were the ones, I think, that went in and pulled him out personally, while Guy stood there for like 5 minutes watching them burn before she decided to use her water power and put it out.
Yeah.
I thought that was weird. She just kind of watched for a minute, like, oh no. And you can see like this horse trough full of water, like a foot from her. And she's just like, da, da, da.
Well, cause she's,
oh yeah, let's
probably deeply thinking like, well, he did kick me out of the store.
And right. Like she, he is pretty racist.
She's having a moral conflict. Yeah.
Yeah.
So eventually, you know, he's saved. He hires Kiani. And Keanu's basically like, you know, if you would want me to. And he's like, yeah, it would make me very proud or mighty proud. And so I thought that was a really nice moment.
That was cool.
Yeah. I think Gaia tells him, like, Mother Nature likes to have things back to normal. Keanu, we see him again. He's wearing a Planeteer belt, which I thought was pretty neat.
Oh, yeah. They looked in a history book and then they saw Keanu as the first medicine man of this tribe. And he was wearing the Planeteer belt and stuff. Yeah. And he's older in the photo. And
so he's already, you know, Planeteer, or the Captain Planet's already got merch going on even back then.
Right. Yeah. He got it from a store.
Yeah. The PSA for this one was Grand Canyon is not a landfill. Reduce, reuse, recycle, of course.
Oh, yeah. The three R's, man. Yep.
And only you can make less trash.
Oh, also, and the power is your, because he forgot the S on that one. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, he literally says the power is your.
The last episode we watched for today's show was A Formula for Hate, season 3, episode 11. This one was actually suggested by Christopher Valencia. So,
right.
What an interesting episode this was. Kind of a different direction. So in this one, Todd Andrews, the high school basketball player, finds out he has HIV/AIDS. Verminous Scum starts rumors about the disease that turned Todd's schoolmates against him, hoping to spread the disease further.
That does happen. I forgot Verminous Scum was a rat.
Yeah, he's a rat man.
The reason that this was picked by Christopher is because he said, and he does, I don't think this is verbatim, but he saw a lot of parallels between this and a real life story of this boy named Ryan White, who was infected with HIV in the early 1980s. Because of a contaminated blood transfusion. And that's how Todd Andrews in this story gets HIV, is through that blood transfusion. And because the knowledge of the disease was still mostly unknown to the general public, he was like ostracized by the community. He was banned from school. He was threatened. He was forced to move because like people were shooting guns at his house, things like that. So like I said, like, we don't know if this was based on that incident. But as Christopher pointed out to us in a message on Twitter, he told us all that stuff. There's an awful lot of parallels with it. So I would be surprised if it wasn't based off that story.
Yeah, for that not to be true, that'd be a huge coincidence. So most likely is. Because like you said, a lot of it very much follows that story. The first thing we see is Scum setting off a cheese bomb. Like, it's literally
C4 out of cheese. Yeah, how do you do that?
C4 made of cheese at a doctor's office. And then he starts harassing the basketball champ, Todd. We see then Todd and Lisa, who is, I guess, his girlfriend at the time. They kiss. Why does he get tested again?
Okay, so he goes to the doctor because he had had major surgery not that long ago. And he received a blood transfusion during that surgery. So I guess this was like a follow-up. So he went in. I'm guessing that they had done blood work or something like that. Mm. They don't tell us all this. They just say that he had had a blood transfusion from a surgery or an injury or something like that that needed surgery. So I think that that is why he's going in. I'm guessing it's a follow-up. But then they tell him that he is HIV positive.
Yeah.
He doesn't have AIDS yet. He has HIV, which is, you know, the condition that can lead to AIDS.
Right.
Really quick note, because I thought this was interesting. The voice of Todd Andrews was Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh, wow.
And the voice of his mother was Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah.
Star-studded, man.
Star-studded.
So, yeah, the doctor tells him, like, it could be years before you get sick and all that.
Oh, and actually, I guess they didn't say exactly how he got it, because the mom was like, how could this happen?
Yeah, yeah.
And the doctor's like, well, it could come from sharing needles, from drug use. It could be from unprotected sex. Could be from that blood transfusion you had for your surgery. You know, just kind of places that in very last.
Right.
Like, you kids, you're probably doing drugs and having sex.
Yeah.
But like Todd's reaction, he's like, who cares how I got it? It stinks, and runs away. It stinks. So HIV smells upset. So bad.
He thinks it's all over for him.
Yeah.
Vermin is Scum's plan, because his thing as a bad guy.
He creeps me out with something he says, too.
Is to just spread diseases. And so his idea for this is, if Earth stays stupid about AIDS, it spreads.
Yeah, that's true. And he thought he could incite lots of violence because of it. And stuff.
Right.
And this thing he says, he's like, AIDS is the best thing since the Black Plague. And I was like, oh, dude, like.
Yeah, he's a filthy.
I didn't like
creature.
That. Like, no.
This is a villain with a clear motive, and that is just to spread diseases. Unlike Hoggish, who we're not sure. He just likes to pollute.
And I was wondering why he wants to spread diseases. Like, what's the end game here?
Well, he's a rat. I mean, I don't know.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm sure not all rats are like, you know what I want to do today? I want to spread some diseases.
I mean, that's just typical rat hobbies, from my understanding.
And he's not even like. Like a typical rat hobbies. And he's not even really like spreading. If he wanted to spread the disease, he would get HIV himself and then, you know, have unprotected sex with other people or something. But
no, because it stinks.
He's just instead putting up flyers with this kid's face on it. That's like, I have HIV or I have AIDS. And
So I guess this thing is like, he kind of just likes to push things in a certain direction and watch the world burn.
Some rats just want to watch the world burn.
Yeah. Todd breaks up with Lisa for her own protection.
He's such a jerk about it.
Yeah.
He could just say, I've got HIV and I don't want you to contract it. And there's going to be a lot of, you know, hate coming towards me. So we need to break this off for your protection. Instead, he's like, well, I'm going to college soon. I might want to date other girls. So we're done.
Yeah. Yeah. And Scum is spreading the message that Todd has AIDS. And on these flyers, he traps the Planeteers.
Like in the sewer. Well, he's got a machine that he was building that shoots these like metal braces.
That's right, yeah.
And it like constricts their bodies so they can't move. Wheeler, it doesn't get his arms. It just gets his torso, but he falls over and hits his head on a machine and knocks him out. The others get their arms restricted, which I guess if your arms are at your sides, you can't use powers, I guess. I don't know. Because,
yeah,
like, he starts filling up the sewer with water, and I'm like, oh, good thing Guy can control water. But she's just like, oh, no, what do we do? And I'm like, wait a minute. Like, just use your freaking power. Like,
I guess they have to have some kind of motion in their arms to command the powers. I don't know.
It's like a swish with like a magic wand or something.
Yeah.
They have to have free range of motion. So then they're like, we have to wake Wheeler up. And it manages to work. And Wheeler, because he has fire, causes an explosion and blows a wall open where all the water drains out. I didn't know, like, fires could just, you know, just be an explosion. Like, I feel like fire is combusting with something else. Like, if fire breaches a container of gasoline, the energy in that gasoline is released and explodes. But I guess fire itself, in this case, can just blow up a brick wall.
It's not even the power of fire at this point. It's just power of explosion.
Yeah, it's just Michael Bay took over this episode. Yeah. It's just like, we need to blow stuff up, man.
It would have been better if Wheeler had just walked away from it, put sunglasses on.
It walks away backwards while it explodes in slow motion.
Yeah. We go over to the school, and so the other kids are ostracizing Todd, where they're like, you know, ew, don't touch him. Like, and he's drinking from a water fountain. They're like, oh, other people have to drink from that. And so
I like how they were like spreading it though, because Scum like walks up and he's like, hey, did you hear about Todd Andrews? To some teenager. Yeah. Yeah. And then the teenagers, like, literally they walk up to people and I mean, they're like, did you hear about Todd Andrews? I'm like, yeah. I guess they're whispering, but I mean, if they enunciated the other part, then how are they not enunciating this part?
Right.
I don't know.
Scum is saying like, protect the children, get rid of AIDS in your town or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Planeteers come back. Scum's upset. He's like, what does it take to get rid of these planet twits? And then Lisa finds out about Todd having AIDS.
HIV.
And then says she would have understood. Scum keeps spreading the message of hate. Chip, who is Todd, this part was kind of like is hurtful. Chip is Todd's little brother. So Chip comes in crying and he got beat up because of Todd having HIV.
Right.
And the mom is then being pelted with tomatoes. Like, it is affecting his whole family. And like, his little brother comes in with a black eye. So that's like, oh man, like that sucks. Like, this is really affecting everyone around Todd.
Yeah,
so,
he got beat up.
Yeah. Someone's explaining to him that people don't always think before they hurt others. This might be his mom telling him that, or one of the Planeteers. Lisa comes by, but then Todd runs off.
Oh, yeah. Because she comes over and his mom's like, oh, Todd's in the kitchen. And she goes in and she's like, he's not in the kitchen. And yeah. They're like, oh, my God. He's not in the kitchen.
Like, he could be anywhere else in the house. But no,
like, because he could just be like in the bathroom taking a dump. And like, sorry, like, oh, guys, my God.
He's not in the kitchen.
But no, he did run away.
Yeah, but they were totally right. It would have been great if Hoggish had come in and done like that. No, no,
right. No, not the kitchen.
No.
So he runs away and he finds a cabin that he hides in. And he has these like fever dreams where like Scum is pretty much just trolling him the whole time.
Yeah.
Turning into like people he loves. And they're like, you're gross and I don't love you. And you have AIDS. And
yeah.
You know,
so he's pretty much dreaming about exactly what was happening to him before.
So one thing that was cool is Todd's coach really loves him, not in a weird way. I mean, you know, as like a coach who is very proud of a certain player, not just because of his athleticism, but because of who the person is personally.
Mm-hmm.
He cares about this kid almost like a son. And also his tie is never tied. The coach's tie is always undone and just draped around his neck in every single scene he's in, from the beginning of the episode to the end of the episode. It's still the same, even though it's different days.
Coach is always ready to party.
The mom shows up at the basketball game because he was told he couldn't play anymore. Not by the coach, but other people like in the school said he couldn't play. So she's hoping he shows up there, but he doesn't. So the Planeteers are like, Captain Planet time. And yeah. Captain Planet's like, oh, I'm on it, and flies out and grabs Todd, carries him back.
He kind of comes in and educates people about the HIV virus. He's like, highlights, I guess, are you can't get AIDS from casual contact. One of the things he says is
he doesn't do it. Because he goes in and he's like, we need to talk, people. And he starts talking for like 2 seconds. And he's like, tell him, coach.
Oh, yes,
and then
the coach
is the one that explains everything. But I was like, what if the coach didn't know anything about HIV?
Yeah.
And Ken Plant's like, tell him, coach. And he's like, HIV's bad.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Just don't touch his blood.
Yeah, don't touch his blood. Don't have sex with him. Yeah.
And you're good.
Yeah. You're good. One of the things he says is like, deal with the real people, get the facts.
Yeah, deal with the real people.
Yeah. And now everybody's cheering Todd on. So it was a quick turnaround for the school.
Yeah. They just needed to deal with the real. And then they dealt with the real.
And yeah, they were able to start cheering for Todd. The police come in and arrest Scum.
I don't know for what, though. Like, what is he going to get charged with? Just being a jerk?
Yeah, I guess.
Like, I don't know. Maybe inciting a riot, but...
Well, that could be.
I don't know. He didn't tell them to riot, though. He's just kind of like, boo, get him out of here. We don't want him here.
Yeah, so he's a heckler.
I don't know.
Scum is just a heckler.
Yeah, basically. And this is the PSA that we got where Gaia turned black. She went from, like, you know, maybe Middle Eastern to definitely, like, African or something.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird. What was interesting, too, is there is one scene that she's in where she's definitely darker. And then there's another scene in the same PSA where she's even darker than she was that time. So it was like she progressively was changing shades. It was interesting.
In the PSA, I mean, it's kind of just exactly what the episode says. There's a roundup of that. Like, learn facts about AIDS. Something about our minds and our bodies must be in shape, but I can't remember what the actual purpose of that is. I guess just to be healthy.
Well, yeah, they were talking about being healthy and exercise, and all the Planeteers are shown doing some sort of exercise. And then there's just a random guy wearing like a jumpsuit who throws shot put, and he he's like, stay fit. And I'm like, what? Who is this guy? Yeah. They don't explain who he is. We didn't see him in this episode. We have no idea who this guy is. It was just some random, like, 40-year-old man on the same, like, you know, school field with, like, all these teenagers.
Stay fit.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
I'm not sure. Well, Chris, looks like it's about time we turn our inner kids into little Planeteers themselves by sending them out on a dangerous ecological mission to clean up our apartments. And then, as they emerge from the pile of empty cereal boxes and unwashed bowls, see what they thought of Captain Planet and the Planeteers.
So, I guess the Planeteers are kinda cool, except for Wheeler. He's a total douche face. And honestly, Captain Planet's kinda creeping me out. I mean, he's just a little too friendly and doesn't wear a lot of clothes like my Uncle Steven. But saving the Earth from pollution is cool, I guess. So, before I make a joke about Linka being my new girlfriend, I gave this cartoon 2.5 bowls of oat, wheat, sugar, corn syrup, and dextrose combined cereal out of 5. Oh! And Linka is totally hot.
Even though the situations were sometimes exaggerated and the villains a bit over the top, I really appreciated the message this show was trying to send. As individuals, we have the power to clean up after ourselves and others, but by working together with people close to us and even across the globe, there's no limit to how much we can improve the world. Overall, I'd give Captain Planet and the Planeteers 4 big bowls of Go Planet cereal out of 5, and I recommend spreading its message, especially to kids, in order to lay out the early foundation for an eco-friendly individual and help take pollution down to zero. Because if you don't, I'll be forced to ask Wheeler for help with polluting all litterers' front porches with burning bags of an all-natural, smelly brown element, courtesy of our local doggy disposal bin.
Please do not summon Wheeler for anything other than to die. I mean, at least, like, knock him out and take his ring. Like, just take it from him. He needs to be done.
If it's anything like Matisse, anybody can use it.
Exactly. He's not as special as he thinks he is. So do you have any final thoughts on Captain Planet and the Planeteers?
I mean, don't get me wrong. This is not a great show as far as the quality of it goes, but I am really happy with the message that it tried to send, even though the execution of it might have been kind of weird at times and a little funny sometimes, just because unintentionally funny, I think. It still had a good, strong core to it as far as trying to spread a message of just being better to the environment. And I really appreciate that. So that's why I gave it the score I did. And I mean, to this day, I would still show that to any young person who kind of needed to learn about the environment a little bit. Not that this is going to give you a lot of facts about it, but it will give you some good tips on how to keep the environment around you clean.
Yeah, I see the appeal to the show and it's you know, a very defined message. But to me, I felt like the message kind of overpowered the writing for this one. Like, I mean, we've had other shows where it's really obvious that the show was created to sell toys. To me, it was just a little too obvious that this was created to sell the idea of Earth conservation and peace. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that was the goal. But for me, there wasn't enough of an entertainment factor for me to make it any higher than what I did. Plus, there's definitely some scenes where the animators were either lazy or they made some mistakes that weren't caught. Like, there's one scene in one episode where Linka literally appears out of thin air and is like running towards the camera. Like, I mean, literally, she's not there. And then all of a sudden, she's like full body right in front and running. And I'm like, you know, it was just, it's lazy things like that, which, I mean, you know, some of the cartoons we see have that because it happens. But, you know, because there's things like that, you know, I couldn't rate it super, super high. So it was a good idea. It's a good plan. Execution wasn't quite there, in my opinion. However, I do have to give them kudos for creating a iconic and very atypical superhero in Captain Planet, because like whether or not you like the show, I guarantee you know who he is and you've heard his name. But man, like they sure did some weird design for him. You know, he's got the like I said earlier, the Speedos, the belly shirt. He's wearing gloves, but he's barefoot. which is weird.
Do you think that this is a show that would be able to be rebooted successfully?
I guarantee it will be at some point. I cannot see it not getting rebooted somehow. My question is, what would Captain Planet look like now? Because Captain Planet hadn't been summoned for at least 100 years because Gaia had been asleep for 100 years. But when they summon him, he's rocking the green mullet, which is a hairstyle of the times. So I'm like, okay, so did he always have a mullet and mullets just happen to come back in style from when he was summoned last? Or does he take on a somewhat similar appearance of the times?
That's what I'm thinking, is he takes on the form of his surroundings in a way.
So my guess is that he would have a man bun.
Yeah, he would be a total hipster at this point. He would probably have a flannel shirt or something as well.
Oh, yeah. Flannel shirt. He would have a green beard, the long hair with the man bun.
He would definitely have
big hipster
beard.
Glasses.
The hipster glasses, yeah.
Yeah, he'd have gauges in his ears and tattoos. Oh, my God.
Maybe it's not due for a reboot then.
We just ruined the reboot.
Oh.
It didn't even get off the ground, man.
No, we already crushed it for ourselves and everyone else.
Yeah.
We're sorry.
We're mostly sorry.
So thanks, Christopher, for suggesting this to us. This was an awesome show to watch again for me. I really appreciate the show, like I said. And so it was good to step back into it.
Yeah, thank you so much. And thanks for sending us the information that you did about that particular episode. Because that gave it a lot of context and made it a lot more meaningful for me to see that maybe it was based on this real life situation that was terrible for the person that went through it. So thank you again for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, listeners, looks like our milk supply has now run dry. So it's time for us to say goodbye. And next week, we'll be watching
Dino Riders, suggested via Joseph. Because his birthday is tomorrow. So it's birthday week for Joseph. So he's picking the cartoon for us.
And Dino Riders is something that no one else will probably ever suggest. So I figured it's one of my old favorites. I don't think Chris has ever really seen it. So it'll be fun to talk about.
I've never seen it. He has been talking about Dino Riders for the last 3 years that we've been in podcasting together. So I'm excited to do it.
I mention it probably every 3 to 5 episodes of this show in some way.
Yeah, whether it's on air or not, like, it comes up all the time. So I'm ready to finally see this thing.
You'll see. Don't build it up too much, though. But
okay.
Still, give it a chance.
If they're riding on dinosaurs, that's pretty much all I need to know.
There you go. I mean, it is what it says it is, for sure.
Right, exactly.
Well, once again, I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll see you next Saturday.
Presented by NerdSloth.
A place for lazy nerds.
If you like what you heard, consider donating at patreon.com/nerdsloth so we can continue bringing you quality shows. Be sure to also leave us a review and share your favorite episodes and clips on social media. If you're looking for more content, visit us at nerdsloth.com.